This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a very, very rainy Friday evening in the tri-state. ENN tonight, that's right, it's brought to you by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer is looking for volunteers to help save our rivers. Whatever you're doing, if you drink a Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer, help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. I'd like to start off tonight, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
Zach writes, while acknowledging the Jets need to do a better job, of course the website shut down.
Good evening to Don.
Which Jets linebacker is known for the hit that benched Patriots quarterback Drew Bledsoe?
Oh, boy, Drew Bledsoe. Let's go with Mark Astineau.
Oh, my dear God.
He was clowning us.
He was not.
No, seriously. Did you hear? What was his name?
Doc something.
Doc Hertz. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, Gastineau was not a linebacker, and Gastineau was not from that era. And then he knew that the Jets were formerly the Titans. Then he clowns us again by giving some fugazi name when everybody knows it's the Orange Bowl. He was clowning us.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was.
Wait, did you just call Joe Robbie Stadium some fugazi name?
He didn't say Joe Robbie.
He did.
Something. He did. He said Joe Robbie.
He said Joe Robbie.
Why would it be Joe Robbie in 1969?
Yeah, Joe Robbie, I don't even think owned the Dolphins then.
He doesn't know.
He was either the dumbest man in the face of the earth.
You're completely wet on this.
Or he's clowning. He was clowning us.
Mark Gastineau was the only defensive player from any previous era he could remember. So he threw it out. And Joe Robbie was the only football stadium in Miami he could remember. It's that easy.
He was clowning us.
So, Michael, what do you think?
I don't think he was clowning us. I think he didn't know.
Thank you. I'd also like to say good evening.
He was clearly clowning. The name doesn't give it away?
This is you've had 130 great takes over COVID. This is the worst one I've ever heard.
No, he was definitely clowning us.
RJ, do you think there's any chance that guy was clowning or was completely giving his best shot in earnest and had no idea?
What really throws me off is him knowing the Titans. That's a diehard fact to know.
It is?
Yeah.
Then why did he clown us then? Why did he pick the Titans to come up with it?
Because he couldn't think of something fun.
Why didn't he go the Falcons? Why didn't he make something up?
How many people do you think know that they used to be called the Titans? Honestly.
A lot.
You think so?
They had uniforms. They had Titan uniforms a couple of years ago.
They did throwbacks. I think that was the most gettable.
It was a clown show. That's all right. You don't have to agree with me. I know the facts.
It's just such a bad take. I can't believe it's so bad.
Really. Andrew knows. Andrew, text me.
Andrew's on the phone. Andrew, do you think that guy was clowning, or do you think he sincerely knew the Titans, the Jets used to be the Titans, and everything else, he was just throwing out whatever he could remember and got it wrong?
No, he was not clowning us. It's a terrible Don take. I'm sorry.
How do you explain the name?
What do you mean? What name?
Doc Hertz. He seems to think there's some childish thing.
Oh, what's his name? What was
Doc Hertz.
Doc Hertz. He knew he couldn't get away with saying what, you know, but again, that's part of my decision process. He was clowning.
Doc Hertz. All right. Sorry.
Please, Peter, you can't convince Don. That's one thing I've always learned.
Yeah, you can't. He's sticking with this. And the guy's going to call back at some point and clarify that he, in fact, didn't know. He was just guessing. But I'd also like to say good evening to Don a second time.
9 minutes ago, the Maple Leafs announced that Joe Thornton has signed a one-year contract with Toronto. Good or bad? Why'd they do it?
What do you mean, good or bad?
RJ, what would happen if I were to say good evening to myself tonight?
So in the Washington game, you think that Young is going to chase Jones?
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened? Why do you unplug the Comrex? So
yeah,
what do
you
the battery
do?
Work?
What's
I don't know.
The matter with you?
You're a thrill seeker? Why can't you just? You're trying to save electricity?
No. Yeah. So when I first start my day, I'll do the first. We don't start taping on Ebro in the morning. Like we don't really start recording ourselves for the YouTube until 7:20. So for the first hour of the show, I'm sitting on my couch. I don't have my light on. I don't have anything. And sometimes I move it and forget to plug it back in when I come.
Awful.
And are you clothesless when you're doing the first hour and a half of Ebro?
There are times when I'm just in boxers. It's happened.
Nice.
Sure.
Good
it's happened.
You. You wear boxers?
Yeah, I'm a boxer guy.
Not boxer briefs?
I have some boxer briefs, but I'll be honest. I switched to boxers all the way back in high school, whatever it was.
You know what's great, though?
I liked it.
You're going to slide into your 70s beautifully.
Well, just staying in boxers.
Yeah. I mean, well, you're going to have like the high knee socks held up by those garters. That's next.
Now, just so you know, you could say that all you want, mm-hmm. but boxers when I was in high school were the trend. That's all anyone.
But they're not now.
No.
Well, yeah, but what do I care about underwear trends?
Yeah, I don't know why you would care about underwear.
RJ, if you don't take that as a drop, I don't know.
And also, what got obscured by your Comrex dying was a real dad joke from Kay.
Oh, yeah. What was it about Young?
So Young is going to comma Chase.
Young.
Wow.
Young.
Get it?
No. Jones.
I'm excited for you guys to get a look at Chase Young, though. He's very good. Let's hear about a young New York talent, shall we?
Sure.
LaMichael Perine. I prefer Perine. But he is ready for more touches with Le'Veon gone.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm not going to just sit here and lie like I'm not excited. Don't want to get too excited. And because excitement can come with like being very nervous as well. And so I just want to keep my composure and just be able to just go out there and focus and play ball.
Another gross mismanagement by Gase. The guy didn't get a carry last week. A carry. Didn't get a carry. Now he's essentially going to be the starting running back. Didn't get a carry. Couldn't get a guy that has breakaway speed a carry in the offense.
And it took Bell to get released to get this opportunity. Because right. With Bell there, it couldn't possibly give him any carries, Michael. Are you nuts?
But by the way, that's so funny. You're right. I mean, like, you're trying to tell me that Adam Gase, as of last week, the thought had never crossed his mind that Le'Veon might be gone. And if that was the case, you wouldn't want to give the kid some experience?
Yeah, but he's a brilliant offensive mind.
Hey, Don, what are your thoughts that for my treat meal tonight, any sort of fancy restaurant? No. I'm just going and picking up delicious Burger King. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I love it.
I've been in the mood for a Whopper for months.
It's going to be a drop, please.
Because they just...
You got to make him eat the Whopper.
I love Burger King. I do. But it's not as kid-friendly as McDonald's.
Right, so you don't end up going as much.
The kids openly just Happy Meal. Like, they just know it.
Yeah, but they have a kid's meal at Burger King.
I mean, it's not the same, Michael. It's just not the same.
It's the same exact food.
Well, no, it is the same, but it's not.
And they give you a toy.
You got to get the toy.
They give you a toy at Burger King.
But not the way McDonald's.
So you end up, as a result, having to sacrifice and not get as much Burger King. Now, when the kids get a little bit older, Don, you can treat them to a delicious Whopper Jr.
Yeah.
Which I'm a big fan of. So your meal, your go-to is the Whopper, always?
Yes. At Burger King, absolutely.
What's
you can never go wrong, though, when you walk into Burger King and say, give me the classic original chicken sandwich.
That's where you go every time? Classic original chicken?
I contend, and people will fight me on this, it is the best single fast food item in America in terms of taste.
Wow.
And no less an authority than my children think that the best fries are Burger King fries.
Yeah, that's a problem. You haven't raised them right at all. Because there's nothing better than a McDonald's french fry.
Really?
It's perfect.
But Burger King fries are very similar to McDonald's.
But similar is not the same thing. To prefer Burger King over McDonald's is a problem. It's a sin.
With fries. Now, real quick, Don, what is your full order from Burger King?
I like their chicken tenders. So that's probably, I could probably get a Whopper. Oh, you know what? Also, they're very good. They give you the onion rings with the dipping sauce. I've been
so
in a
nice
Whopper
for
with
months.
A large onion ring with the dipping sauce.
You know what's new to the Burger King menu, too?
What's that?
They now have mozzarella sticks.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, yes.
I had some very sad news the other day. I don't know, RJ, if you have sad music, but I learned that over the summer, Taco Bell discontinued the 7-layer burrito, which, yeah, it was really tough for me when I heard about this.
Do they have like a 6-layer one now?
No, and it's not funny what you just said, and it wouldn't be the same. And they got rid of their, like, what's like the nacho potato thing they had too, which I've heard was delightful. They got rid of that too.
So you have a cheat day, right?
It ends up often, too often, being a cheat weekend, but yeah.
Okay, so you have a cheat day or a cheat weekend where you can have anything in the world you want.
That's right.
And you're going to take your tiny little legs and go to Burger King when you can have anything that's in... New York City is your oyster, and you're going to go to a fast food joint. Not knocking it, serves its purpose, but on a cheat day, that's what you're going to have.
Exactly.
So this is the first time. Well, I had a couple Domino's cheat days early in COVID.
Of course, but instead of having real New York pizza, get it.
But
sure.
See, and see, this is why I just want to explain, Don. I love Michael. He's basically family. But this is why if we didn't work together, I would outright hate his guts. Because these New Yorkers, when they get this way, drive me insane. Anytime you tell a New Yorker you want Domino's, anytime you tell them you want fast food, you live in New York and you want to have fast food? I you know what? I'm a basic B, as we say in the hip-hop world. When it comes down to it, I'm a basic guy. I'm regular. I'm not spoiled. And my... You know, I learned, for me, a really delicious treat for me and my family. Like, once a week, my mom would take my brother and I to the NIH McDonald's in Bethesda, and we'd have our delicious meals, and I look forward to it. So I still enjoy that. I'm a regular guy.
Listen, you can hate me if you like. This body was built on fast food. I love fast food.
Michael's 17th book just got a title. This body was built on fast food.
You have a cheat day where you can have anything. You could, but it's delicious. You could get takeout at one of the best steakhouses in the world.
By the way, can I tell you the truth? I can't wait to see what Don LaGreca says about this. If I am forced to choose my like delicious treat between a steak and a fast food cheeseburger, 7 times out of 10, I'm going with a fast food cheeseburger. Well, maybe more.
I don't want to give away your location, but you're about 2 blocks from a restaurant, Parm. You could have a great chicken Parm hero if you like. You could go Jacob's Pickles and get a French dip. You're choosing to go to a place that you could go to any day of the week.
I can go to those places any day of the week, too.
But not on cheat days.
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
I understand. Sometimes you just have a hankering for that particular thing, and that's
great.
The only thing.
Well, how about doing E&N, then?
This is E&N, don't you know? There's the
RJ,
show, and then there's
I'm sorry, I know we're giving you a ton of requests. What Don just said needs to end up in the intro for E&N. That is an intro piece. It's annoying, I know. I produce you as the show goes on, and I hate myself. But that's just so damn good. All right, the Patriots canceled practice after another COVID-19 positive, according to Mike Rice and Field Yates. They work together on this story. It's important. It's important for everyone to know. They canceled Friday practice and player interviews after the positive COVID-19. They're awaiting confirmation on the second positive. The Patriots plan to place offensive lineman James Ferentz on the reserve COVID-19 list. Friday's positive test comes one day after Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore and a practice squad player practiced for the first time after being taken off the reserve COVID-19 list. They're scheduled to host the Broncos on Sunday. That's a reschedule from last week. And now we'll see what happens. Because now they're looking at another positive today. So how do you think they play this out, guys? We know this league. They will plan on moving forward with Sunday. I guess they will just hope that they'll test again tomorrow and Sunday, not get more positives, and push forward?
Let me give you the football way of thinking, Peter.
Go ahead.
In case you don't know. Nick Saban's 68 years old. He tested positive for COVID-19. Well, now they continue to test him. And now they finally got a test that was negative. They're going to take 3 days in a row because that's the SEC rule. They found a test that will come back negative on him, and he'll be on the sidelines on Saturday. I have a very close friend who got COVID-19 10 days ago, and he feels so much better. and he took a test, and he's still positive. So this is all nuts. It's nuts. It's like finding somebody to tell, oh, yeah, you're not mentally incapable of doing that. Sure, go.
Well, that's it's all about whether you're treating it something that's serious or just treating it as an inconvenience.
Why would Nick Saban want to take the chance to go out on the field on Saturday when he tested positive earlier this week and he's 68 years old? I don't care if you're asymptomatic. Why would he want to risk it?
It's what he does, I guess. I don't know.
That's what I mean. That's football. Football mind.
Play, tackle.
That's it.
And if that's your mentality, then what about the player? Like if the coach test till it's negative, fight through it, then he probably expects his players to do the same thing.
Michael, I think you should turn that into like a techno song because you kind of had a German accent when you said it. The play,
tackle. Want me to try it again?
Yeah.
Play, tackle. Play, tackle.
Don, you know what I'm saying. It is true, though. This is what football is. So all over the sport this weekend, we will see people attempt to make it back to the sidelines, attempt to get into games, when anyone else in any other world, it seems like it's the opposite.
Don't you think that, like, Saban's wife, Sadie Saban, would say, hey Nick, chill, baby. Just watch the game on TV this week. You just had COVID. You're 68. And he goes, Sadie, I got a coach. Because if we win or lose, it's on my record. That, by the way, is true. That was decided. That's probably another thing, pushing him out. But Sadie Saban has no say in telling her husband, no, sit back and relax.
Who are they playing?
It's a big game.
It's Georgia? Who is it?
Yeah, I think it's Georgia.
It's Georgia. So that, I mean, every game's a big game. That's what drives me crazy. Every game in college football, no, even when you're having a fakakta terrible season, that you have four rivalry games that are all so big, especially in the conferences like the SEC.
How you want to hear my techno song again?
Sure.
Play. No, I'm not going to do it.
It's like Sprockets.
Is it Sprockets?
Yeah, right, Peter? Now We Dance, that old Mike Myers bit on Saturday Night Live.
You guys want to hear from Saban?
Sure. Or Sadie. Sadie Saban would be good.
No, this is regular Saban. He was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Here's Coach.
I felt fine. I was very surprised, you know, by this. Still doing everything possible to get ready for the Georgia game. I'll have normal meetings tomorrow. Everything will be on Zoom. You know, Sark's kind of filling in my absence for anything that needs coordinated in the office. But we're going to do everything we can to help our team, you know, get ready to play. And I'm not sure exactly how this is going to play out when the game comes, you know, whether I can have communication with people or not. We'll have to research and sort of figure that one out.
Now, honestly, that audio sounded fine. It would have sounded much scarier if he sounded like me earlier when my Comrex went out. That's someone who, if you hear it happen to, they're not playing that weekend.
So in the Washington game, you think that Young is going to chase Jones?
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
That guy's out on Sunday.
He's got to take three tests in a row, 24 hours apart, to test negative before he can get on the field. Then he's going to run after the, you know, they draw blood, and he's going to run out on the field so he can face number three, Georgia.
Wait, so hold on. That means he got a negative yesterday and a negative today?
Yeah.
Then he'd be
looking
for the third.
He's got one more to go.
Oh, God, it would be so classic if the third one went positive again.
What's the chance? Zero?
What do you mean?
I say there's zero chance it's positive.
Oh, just because you mean it won't be positive.
It's just not going to be positive.
It just won't be, no matter what. Yeah, I hear you.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Myles Garrett is up against the Pittsburgh Steelers again. First time. It's been a year since Helmet Gate when Myles Garrett went after Steelers backup Mason Rudolph. But Garrett says he is not focused on Mason Rudolph, who of course is not starting, but focused on Ben Roethlisberger. He said his team's over it, and they plan on and expect a clean, fair game in the first Brown-Steelers matchup since that 2019 melee. He was fined $45,000, and he lost $1.2 million in salary for swinging that helmet at Rudolph. Go ahead, Don.
What week was that last year?
Halfway
Were we like
through?
Coming up on the one-year anniversary? Has
November 14th. November 14th, yeah.
Also, 11 months ago that drop was created.
Which one?
Football. They're playing football.
Was that what that came from?
Yeah.
Football! Yes, football! They're playing football!
Why did I yell like that? That's not normal.
Because we played the cut of it happening, and it sounded like the two maniacs were screaming.
Wait, was that the local radio call?
Yeah.
It was the local Pittsburgh or Cleveland call. I don't remember which one.
I don't remember.
That's right. That's... I forgot. Wow. And it sums up so much, those football drops. They sum up everything. The Colts plan to reopen their facility after four false positives. They're also set to play on Sunday. They said in a statement that they'd plan to reopen this afternoon as they prepare for the Bungles. Or Bengus.
And nothing really came of the Falcons' positive tests, right? It ended up being...
I'm glad you mentioned that, Don, because the Falcons reopened their facility a day after a positive test also. And I guess everything's all set to go between the Falcons and the Vikings this weekend. I consider touching the Vikings, guys. I did.
I'm going to need a drop on that, please, RJ. Just that one line. That'd be great. Thanks.
Really? I did. I don't know. After I watched the Vikings... last Sunday. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong on them.
But there's a lot of hysteria, too, when you look at the media. Because I remember when that Falcon story broke out, I was like, multiple players have tested positive, and the game's right now on hold. And it ended up not being a player. It ended up being very little to do with anything.
But you always bring up a good point when we talk about this. There are teams that have positive players, right? And they're playing against each other. How do you transmit this thing if they're not getting it playing football? With snot flying and breath and how are they not transmitting it?
It's not. I mean, listen, Mahomes was hugged by someone that had it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And he didn't get it. So I guess that's the good news in this thing that
it's not
in all the baseball games that have been played, football games that have been played, where you know that there was somebody positive on the field, the other team has not gotten it. Now is that just luck or is that say something about the transmission?
By the way, 47 straight days baseball is announced without a positive test.
Which means that you don't necessarily have to have a bubble, but if you just quarantine and be responsible, where it's just the field, the hotel, that this can be done.
Well, this bubble is 26 days long.
But it's not even really a bubble in the sense of
right,
like what the NBA and the NHL had.
Right.
Because there still had to be travel, right, in those 47 days, and there'll be more travel because whoever wins in San Diego is going to have to go to Texas.
RJ, can you do me a favor and get ready? You'll know when to play it, but cue up the Yankees rain delay music. Let me just take you quickly through the Sunday schedule. Fox games, 1:00, Chicago, Carolina, Cincy, Indy, Detroit, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Minnesota, and of course, right here, Washington and the Giants. Any predictions on who we get for a commentary team?
Washington Giants. That's. Mm-hmm. I think you
that's
might
gotta
get a little
give Kenny one.
It feels like a Kenny vehicle.
It feels like a Kenny game.
1:00 CBS games: Baltimore, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Denver, New England, Houston, Tennessee. 4:05 on CBS. You have the Jets and Miami. The big 4:25 Joe Buck Troy Aikman vehicle would be Green Bay and Tampa Bay. That'll be a fun game, actually, Rodgers and Brady. 8:20, you have the L.A. Rams versus the San Francisco 49ers on NBC. And on Sunday nights, you know
what? Wait, 1 second. So that's a Sunday night game on NBC.
Yeah.
Is that in San Francisco is the home team?
Correct.
Great. That means Al has to wear a mask again.
If it's Al, it could be one of Al's bye weeks again.
Well, he might say, if I have to wear a mask, give this one to Michael.
Right.
Yeah, like if he complained that much, maybe he gives it to Tirico.
Yeah.
But yes, the Sunday Nighter on NBC, the Rams in San Francisco, which leads us to everyone's favorite segment, What's on CBS? Sunday night on CBS at 8 o'clock, of course. After 60 Minutes, we'll jump right into Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's right, the Matthew Broderick 1985 classic. You'll all be sure to enjoy.
86.
Maybe 1986, I'm not sure. Followed up at 10:30 by an all-repeat episode of Mom. And that is your Sunday night CBS lineup.
Did you hear this? You're being legitimate there. So the movie's not even long enough to take you to the evening news.
They have to throw Mom in. And how about,
did
you hear the news, Michael?
What's that? Mom's coming back, right?
But Anna Faris out.
Yeah, she left the show. Yeah.
How do you continue?
Because Allison Janney became the star of the show anyway.
I know, but the whole thing is Mom.
Oh, she's still a mom.
She's the daughter. But yeah.
It's not daughter, it's mom.
The kids have strategically been removed from the show. I love when they do that.
It's like Richie's brother.
Right, it's like
on Happy Days.
She had two kids, and then they just disappeared. And now
her daughter was a very attractive young lady too.
And they're gone. I just thought that was interesting to move forward without her. I wonder how.
By the way, though, no punt on next Thursday for CBS. They are scheduled to have the second presidential debate, just like everybody else.
Well, it was impossible for them to take a knee.
I know. Everyone has to take it. Don, that would have been really impressive. If NBC, Fox, if every channel took the debate and they still punted.
Four reruns of Mom.
You think I'm joking. I'm just saying that they try until, but then they get to that 3rd and 30. And you know what? We're going to have to punt on it.
But what did Phil Simms do on 4th and whatever? He saved the Giants season.
It was 4th and 17.
Right. He didn't take a knee.
Well, because he had a play and he was able to execute it. They look at it and say, we don't have a play. We're going to take the knee. And I think that there's a lot of respect in that. I just respect it.
I know we're running long here, so we got to wrap
up.
But one thing we've barely gotten to talk about today, and we can maybe do it when we get back if you wanted to, is what the hell is going on with Clayton Kershaw? It continues. The problems in the postseason. Kershaw loses again. Dodgers on the brink of elimination. Let's hear from Dave Roberts, who refutes the Kershaw playoff struggles narrative.
He came out and, you know, 5 innings, 1 run, and then, what happened right there in that 6th inning, but he gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run, but that narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
But for a Dodger team that's built on analytics, I mean, just look at his statistics in the regular season. And in 22 starts, you can't say there's nothing to the narrative.
Right.
I mean, it might be overblown, but he is not the same pitcher in postseason as he is in the regular season.
It's not close.
Greg Maddux. He's 100 games over 500 in the regular season. 100 games.
Greg Maddux was one of the great pitchers in the history of baseball, and he's under 500 in the postseason.
If you watch Fox's pregame, A-Rod just nailed it. He said the problem with Kershaw in the postseason is he only uses half of the 17 inches of the plate. He said, and he'll use the middle 8.5 inches, the 8.5 inches from the middle to the inside. He said, all you have to do is like lean into that pitch and you're going to get big hits. And he showed like throughout the playoffs, every one of those pitches that were inside got hit. That's what people sit on because he doesn't use the other 8.5 inches of the plate, the outside part. And even A-Rod showed, even a clown like me can run into one. And he showed him hit a pitch down and in. And that's exactly the pitch that got hit yesterday.
Flip side, let's hear from Dusty Baker, the Astros manager, on Correa's big walk-off promise and delivery.
Well, that was very crucial. I mean, you know, Carlos told me, you know, before he went up there, he goes, you know, walk-off. And I said, go ahead on, man. And then I said a prayer to my dad and my brother. And I said, Lord, please let us walk off, because if not, we got to use Framber, and then we don't have Framber tomorrow. To start. So things couldn't have worked out any better at that time.
So he doesn't even not use analytics. He says prayers during games. There's no way the analytic crowd believes in anybody to pray to, because you can't monetize. You can't put a number on it.
No, you can't. It doesn't get talked about enough, Michael. They don't believe in hot or God.
Yeah. Guys, this is one of the great days in my let's look back on this day in history moment. All right, let's start with the oldest first, RJ, on this day in sports history.
In the eighth inning, leading by three, as Boone hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series. Boone, a hero in game seven.
Well, that's a great – I never heard that call. I always heard Charlie's call, Charlie Steiner. That's a great call by Joe.
Yeah, that was very, very good.
Oh, I don't know if you were on Twitter last night, Michael. It just shows what garbage it is. Him just getting absolutely destroyed by Dodger fans. You hate my team. You love
the team that loses is the one he hates all the time.
It is amazing that
Also on this date, the great
– I don't even know why – other than the $20 million he gets a year, I don't even know why he puts up with it.
Also on this day,
put up with it, he has fun with it.
The date, I don't remember. The man, Dennis Green.
You know, I mean, we the Bears are what we thought they were. What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
October 16th, 2006.
Thanks, Coach.
And 1 year ago today, on this day, I picked up the phone. I made a recording with Andrew Gundling and RJ Santillo. We played it on the air. And the following happened.
Gil in Bensonhurst. Gil.
Michael, this is Gil in Bensonhurst. Listen to me, Michael, please. Please don't hang up. Please listen. Okay. Last night, this whole thing would be different if Joe Girardi, Aaron Boone, if Aaron Boone had the presence of mind to pinch hit for Gary Sanchez in the first inning.
All right, goodbye, Gil. You said no,
Gil.
I lied.
Goodbye.
I lied.
Get off the phone.
Goodbye,
get
Gil.
Off
goodbye,
the phone.
Gil.
How did I not know it was you?
It was so good. He was so good.
The best part of the call, most underrated, was the slipping
I know. I'm going to tell you what.
Yep.
Joe Girardi, Aaron Boone.
That's it. That's what made it real. That's what made it real.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
How do we not know it was you?
I
remember where I was. I was in Washington.
That's right, because you said, I'll turn around and ride out to the Capitals. That'll do it for ENN on this rainy Friday, football Friday evening.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.